Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Continuing with the incident of Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, explaining that he didn't go out at the time of the expedition of Tabuk. And then he explains that it was a harvesting season day in Madinatul Munawwara. Things were difficult, the season was difficult, terrain was difficult, weather was difficult. So he kept on thinking and had to procrastinate, and I'll go the next day, next day, next day. The time had come when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba had returned, but he didn't go out. And when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would return, he'd come to the masjid, and then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would talk to his Sahaba. Those that had excuses presented their excuses. There were about 80 of them that presented their excuses. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he accepted the excuses and he made dua for them. But he said, I'll be very honest, I'll tell Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that I didn't have any excuse. It's just that I delayed and I delayed and I procrastinated. So he put his case exactly as it was. He didn't say any, make up any story. So he explains now that his family began to taunt him, and they told him, why didn't you just be like the other people, made an excuse? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam would have accepted your excuse and he would have made dua for you, and that would have been the end of the story. Why did you have to confess and come clean as to what you did? So then he explained that I did ask them that, has anybody else in Madinah Munawwara experienced the same fate like I did, when they came forward and they said it as it was, they confessed exactly what was the condition. So they replied, yes, there were two other people. One was Hazrat Murara ibn Rabi radiallahu anhu, and the other was Hazrat Hilal ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhu. So then he explains, he said that they were known to me to be righteous men who had participated in the battle of Badr and who were worthy role models. After they mentioned them to me, I continued on my way. He said, after I knew I was in good company, I was doing the right thing that the good people are doing, then I continued. I didn't worry about this taunting that had come from my family to say that, why didn't I just make up a story? I'm following the righteous people, I'm in a good company, that's all that matters to me. It doesn't matter, I did what I needed to do as far as being honest was concerned. So he mentioned, the incident goes on, from amongst all those who had remained behind in the expedition, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited the people from speaking to only the three of us. The people remained aloof from us. Oh, he said, the attitude towards us had changed, and the entire earth seemed strange to me. It was not the earth that I had known previously. We remained in this state for 50 days. And everyone that they knew in Medina now was either estranged to them, was acting strange to them, or either not speaking to them at all. Can you imagine what they must be going through? And what the greatest thing for Sahaba, the greatest and the hardest thing for them, the hardest thought for them was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upset with them. So can you imagine how this would eat them up? So then he goes on to say, he says, my two companions became miserable and remained crying in their homes. I was younger and much stronger than them, and I would therefore go out and attend the salah with the Muslims and walked around in the marketplaces, but no one would talk to me. I would go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was seated in his assembly after the salah, and I would greet him. I would ask myself, did his lips move in reply to my greeting or not? I would then offer salah close to him and steal a glance at him. When I was engaged in my salah, he would turn towards me, but when I turned towards him, he would turn away from me. When the boycott of the Muslims seemed too long to me, I walked and climbed over the orchard wall of Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, who was my cousin and most beloved to me. So what he did was, his cousin, he climbed over the wall now to at least try and talk to his cousin. So somebody who was very close, at least he'll get some type of warmth by speaking to somebody who had a close relationship with. So he said, he was my cousin and he was the most beloved to me. I greeted him, but by Allah, he did not reply to my greeting. I said to him, O Abu Qatada, I ask you in the name of Allah Ta'ala, don't you know that I love Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He remained silent. I repeated my question and he was still silent. I repeated my question again and he replied, Allah Ta'ala and his messenger know best. My eyes filled with tears and I turned around and climbed back over the wall. And this shows the love and the attitude that Sahaba had in following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had told him issued them that nobody should mix with these three Sahaba. But because of that, they were so careful that even his first cousin also, it was behind the wall, he could have replied to his salam, he could have spoken to him, he could have talked to him for a short while. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do this. This was the level of the way they would follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 100%. You can imagine what ita'at, what obedience Sahaba had to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, whilst I was walking in the marketplace of Medina Sharif, I heard a farmer from Syria who used to sell his food in Medina saying, who can direct me to Ka'b ibn Malik? Remember something, when a person is going through difficult times, this difficult time that he's going through is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at times, there will be tests that will come. And when a person is low, there will be a lot of tests. Sometimes it happens. If you go for gush into the areas, the poorer areas, they'll tell you that the non-Muslims came and they offered us hampers. The non-Muslim came and they offered us this. All we need to do is just attend the Sunday service, and then we are taken care of as far as our electricity is concerned, sometimes as far as our groceries are concerned. So when a person is down and things are difficult, sometimes the test comes at that time. And then that's a true test of iman. But what is the iman that the person has got when he's down and out, and now there's temptations coming from other quarters? This is a true test where the man has really got iman. Is he following deen for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is following deen for that grocery hamper, is following deen for that handout, or for that small amount that is being given to him? So now he's explaining here that whilst I was walking in the marketplace of Medina Sharif, I heard a farmer from Syria who used to sell his food in Medina Sharif saying, who can direct me to Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu? The people began directing him towards me. They came to me and handed me a letter from the king of Ghassan. As I could read and write, I read it. News has reached us that your companion Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has boycotted you. Allah did not compel you to live in a place where you are humiliated and where your rights are trampled upon. Join us and we will assist you. Imagine, the king has sent him a letter to saying that you join us, we will assist you. Why do you want to stay humiliated in this place? Now look at what his level of iman was, and look at how he responded when he got that letter from the king. Allah Pak save us, person with weak iman, he'll grab the opportunity of being invited by the king to another place to live with respect. These people, for a small thing like this, are treating me. He didn't think like that at all. Look at his reaction when he read this letter. This king had told him that you are in a place that where you are humiliated, your rights are trampled, join us and we will assist you. After reading the letter, I said to myself, this is also a test from Allah Ta'ala. And I took it to an oven and straight away burnt it in the oven. Those days they would have those ovens, like a clay oven, where the fire would burn from inside. Big fire inside, that was the oven. Immediately he took it and he put it into that fire. He burnt that letter immediately. May Allah Ta'ala will continue with this incident. It's quite an interesting incident. Many lessons to learn. But the lesson we get from today's incident is that when a person is sincere and he's genuine, it doesn't matter what the conditions around him, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he remains faithful. And the other thing was, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his heart 100% clean. It was not that his heart was not clean towards him. Therefore in salah also, when he would be reciting salah, reading salah, as Ka'b ibn Malik was performing salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look towards him, because this at the end of the day was his sati. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him, but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had no clear directive as how we should be treating him, what we should be doing with him. So until that clear direction, and that was the love that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what does Allah want me to do at this stage? There's no clear directive. How do we treat a person who had no excuse from coming out in the path of Allah? So he was waiting for that to happen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of love for him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking at him. But not to break the command of Allah Ta'ala, when he would look back at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn away. So this was the true, genuine love that they had for Allah Ta'ala and they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala give us also the true love. And sometimes things will happen. It doesn't mean the heart must be dirty. The heart stays clean all the time. The main thing is what is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.